Three, two, one.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good for now. Good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good for now. But I know that by tomorrow I'll probably come around.
Tell me something good. I'm Steve Willie, and this is the Feeling Good for Now podcast. This is a show about psychology, pop culture, and most of all, the power of positivity. I'd like to give a quick shout out to our producer, Nate Milton. You can find him at N8Mosaic, N8MOZAIK. He is, of course, a purveyor of the Kings of Sport and their Patreon. So check out the Kings of Sport. If you like what you hear, give me a few bucks and get access to many shows, including one with me on it. We are on Amazon, Amazon Music, iTunes, Pandora, Google. Let us know how you're listening to this thing. Apple, all those things. I don't even know some of them that they're on, but we are on them and you can hear us. And who's us? Who is us, I say? Well, first, from the capital of COVID, Jordan Duncan, how are you doing?
Oh, Steve. I'm doing well. COVID-free as of now. But yeah, doing okay. How are you?
I am doing well. And yeah,
I had a joke lined up, but I couldn't think of the actual punchline because you were saying all the different ways we could listen. What's the service that – oh, Tout! You can listen to us on Tout. Okay, that
yes,
didn't I hit could quite tout. Right.
Is that the 30-second one?
I it's the one that WWE latched on to.
Yes, because then we can tape this in about 200 Tout videos.
Perfect.
And
each
then
one better than the last.
Yes, or let's see, about 14 times 60, 840 vines. We
perfect.
Can send this out as
perfect.
We also have in the line, of course, the King of Vines. We have a King of Sport and we have a King of Vines, Glenn Butler. Glenn, how are you doing? But only tell me in 7 seconds or less.
I'm moving to TikTok. Find me there. I yield the rest of my time.
Excellent. TikTok. I shall never figure the TikTok out. This is passing by. I'm stuck with MySpace.
I'm in a place where I really enjoy watching TikToks, but I feel very aged out of having a TikTok account, if that's fair.
I think you have to be pretty clued in for that. Yeah, which isn't impossible for someone older than 22, but it's hard.
Sure, yeah. So I just have the app, and it's fun little time waster sometimes. But I won't be ticking or talking anytime soon.
That is a shame because I feel that you could do good things with that platform, Jordan.
Yeah, more ticking than talking, I think.
Right.
I'm a big talker.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jordan, before we get started, tell me something good.
Tell me something good.
Okay. My something good is seeing life slowly return to normal, which is kind of interesting given that, as you mentioned, I am coming to you live from the capital of COVID here in Michigan. But I recently started coaching basketball again. I have a friend's son who signed up for a spring league, and they asked him at tryouts, would your dad be interested in coaching? He said, no, my dad doesn't coach basketball. But I know someone who does, and I got volunteered into coaching. and I was a little trepidatious at first, one with COVID, of course. But I think it's a good thing because it's something I really enjoyed doing. I've coached for about 6 or 7 years. This past year I didn't get to because our season was canceled in our city league. And we've only had a couple practices, but I really like being back there with kids and teaching kids basketball. And it is a little bit of an adjustment having to coach with a mask on. I find myself pulling it away from my face, but not down so they can hear me better. I have to work on that, but just getting back to normal, like doing things that we'd always done You know, and we might have listeners from other states who are like, back to normal, like nothing's changed. But here in Michigan, a lot changed over the last year. And being able to kind of go back to these old things with restrictions and with different things in place and with different obstacles. I already have two kids who are out for 2 weeks because someone on their track team tested positive. But just being back to something that I was not able to do because of COVID is something good. And it's coaching basketball.
Yeah, and I can go next. Like, I feel kind of the same thing where I'm starting to do actual things again. Like, I went to speaking of basketball, I went to a Milwaukee Bucks game, which was very strange to go to. It was great to be around, like, a social event, even though it felt very much like a post-apocalyptic world, I think. Like, my friend and I were the only ones in our row, and then it felt very safe. The only time I felt uncomfortable was when we were leaving, but luckily I'm vaccinated, as hopefully our listeners are going to be doing the same, so we can get back to normal quicker. Mm-hmm. And Glenn, how about you? Tell me something good.
You know what's good? Mushrooms are good.
Ooh. Yeah, they can be.
Just, whenever
just, specifically mushrooms,
I was hoping that was the like, end.
Hey, mushrooms are
it would be great. Like, I have nothing else to say.
Whenever I have my big monthly grocery trip, I get like a couple of fresh vegetables, a couple of fresh things, and then at some point in the next week or so, I make a big batch of sautéed vegetables to put in with everything for the rest of time, with like whatever I have in the freezer, whatever I have in cans. And I always make sure to get a ton of mushrooms because they're just incredible. Incredible.
Wow.
So if anyone hasn't experienced mushrooms out there, I would recommend them.
Choose carefully.
If we just use that line, can we just use that specific line? We might attract a whole new audience.
Choose your mushrooms carefully.
Hey, don't knock until you tried it.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know where you've been in your life, so maybe.
Right.
All right. Well, after we've gotten something good, we got to go to our next segment. In other news tonight.
This is Gary Gnu. And the No Gnews is Good Gnews Show, the only TV Gnews program guaranteed to contain no Gnews whatsoever. Nothing bad or wrong ever happens on my show.
And Glenn, you had one that I had actually seen before and I thought about using, and I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, all things tie together, and as I said talked about vaccines before, you definitely have a vaccine-related article.
Yes, I do. This is an article from the Berkshire Eagle about Yo-Yo Ma receiving his second dose of the vaccine, and during the waiting period after he got the jab, he took out his cello and played a little concert for everyone else during the waiting period, whoever was waiting in line, the workers, which I think is just beautiful. Like a moment of beauty put into this process that can be pretty rote and that could be pretty sterile and actually ought to be pretty sterile.
Yeah, it's very important.
To have just a little 15-minute concert for everyone else in the room. And that kind of reminded me of the WPA during the Great Depression hired a lot of artists to work on things that wouldn't necessarily have had artists working on them before, like the infrastructure projects and stuff. There are a lot of bridges near me that were built during the Depression, and they have like iron work and art on them because the WPA was employing artists and having them design things for the various projects that they had. And I think that this, during obviously our economic troubles during the pandemic, I think this would have been, or can still be, a fantastic way to get some work for a lot of musicians. String players, I don't think brass or woodwind players would really be appropriate, but for string players and some other instruments, I think that would just be a fantastic idea. Staff every clinic.
With Yo-Yo Ma.
They don't all have to be Yo-Yo Ma, but it would help.
You know what I love about this article, besides the nature of the article and what it, you know, what it represents, is that it, the picture that is, that goes through it, the still from the video, and it, I thought it was an elementary school gym, but it turns out it's a community college gym, and the gym mats on the floor and the gym mats on the wall, which reminds me of like playing rec basketball, like Y as a kid.
Looking at it now.
And being fast, but unable to make shots. So like trying to make a layup, but going too fast and basically running into the wall. And thank goodness the pads are there. But man, yeah, like just a bizarre looking sight with all these gym mats everywhere. And then,
and what appears to be a gurney or a stretcher. A
gurney just in case the waiting period didn't go well.
Yeah.
So, and then what just looks like a, you know, an everyday person just kind of sitting with a cello, and yet it's Yo-Yo Ma.
That's no everyday person.
No. Yeah. Plus, because it's hard to recognize people sometimes. Imagine you're someone else just sitting there getting your shot or in the waiting period, and someone pulls out a cello and suddenly it's Yo-Yo Ma.
Well, at first you're like, oh, God. I would just imagine like, oh, God, no, this person's not going to, oh, God, he's taking out his cello. Oh, and it's, and then it's like the most beautiful music in the world. You just expect it to be some random guy.
Yeah, now with our luck, we're going to be in waiting rooms and someone's going to be learning to play the banjo.
You're in your waiting room and someone starts shredding on their electric guitar.
Or
except, wait, John Bon Jovi?
Oh, my goodness.
That was a Sex and the City episode, I believe.
Oh, when John Bon Jovi got his COVID shot?
No, when John Bon Jovi...
Yeah, that show was really before its time.
Yeah, going to the same psychologist as Carrie Bradshaw. That's if you want to tune into my other new podcast, it's a Sex and the City recap.
You know, Glenn's idea of having musicians there just to kind of play and provide some nice ambiance for people like in that recovery time. What if, are there out of work professional darts players that could help administer the shots in like fancy ways?
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, darts.
Are there professional darts players? I'm sure there are, right?
There are professional everything. I think that's what ESPN3 plays when there isn't any football. Yeah. One time I was on a cruise and I was browsing through the channels late at night and I found professional cornhole on ESPN 76 or whatever it was. Darts actually is one thing that you can do with social distancing, so that might still be going on.
Quick Google, the darts rankings. Would you guys like to know who number one in the world is right now?
Oh, no, I mean, we're heading into the Olympics, maybe, so let's see the standings as they stand.
Well, number one in the world right now is Snakebite Peter Wright. Snakebite is not his birth name. It's a.
How do you know?
It's true. I mean, I'm guessing the quotation marks. Number two and number three, interesting. Number two is Michael Van Gerwen, and number three is Gerwin Price.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What countries are these people? Are this the American rankings or the...
I don't think it's American rankings. Dartsdatabase.co.uk.
Okay.
So.
So, the Premier League.
Next to their names, it says... Snakebite Peter Wright is from the UK. Or an expat, maybe.
Yeah. Next to their names is prize, and it's like the pound, you know, 782,000 pounds. I don't know if that's the prize for capturing them. I'm not sure how darts works, but we could make a lot of money here, guys. Fix a lot of teeth.
God bless Brexit.
Snakebite is from Scotland, by the way. He's a Scottish fella.
Wow. They have a lot of snakes in Scotland?
I don't know.
Is maybe that just where St. Patrick took them?
Yeah, didn't he take them out? I don't
know. Well, he took them out of Ireland, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And brought them right across somewhere. The water.
Yeah. So the Scottish people, St. Patrick's really not that praiseworthy.
And yet, not the biggest villain in Scottish history.
Hmm. Who is, Glenn?
Oh, pick any king of England. Here, I'll shuffle him. Is this your card?
And I have a COVID-adjacent story as well. This is, of course, the COVID edition of Feeling Good For Now.
Aren't they all?
Right. Yes. So this was from a couple of months ago, and it's one of those stories that popped up everywhere, and yet I didn't know about it until about a week ago, because the magazines I read sometimes are approximately 2 months old, and that's just who I am as a person right now. So this is a story of a grad student from Philadelphia, and this comes from CBS News, amongst as well as many other media outlets. So Ben Berman of Philadelphia unfortunately lost his grandmother to COVID, and his grandfather was sick for quite some time, and he wanted to do something. He felt down and in grief, so he couldn't see his friends. This was around April of last year, 2020. So he is a cook on the side. He just was always really close with his mother, and they would, since the time he was a child, they would cook and come up with recipes to do together. So he decided, you know, I want to make pizza for my friends, but I can't see them. And he lived in lives in like a third floor apartment. So he would make like kind of Napoleon style or Neapolitan style pizzas from scratch, and then created a pulley system with like a box. It looked like kind of one of those boxes that you would pick strawberries and put them in. And he would lower the slices down outside his window to his friends. And now he started doing this a little more often. And it turns out one of the founders of Barstool Sports, or the founder of Barstool Sports, who also does some sort of pizza YouTube channel, was able to get to go and see him. He got some pizza, gave a huge, you know, positive review. And now it's completely blown up. He went from like 300 people on Instagram following him to like 10,000 pretty much overnight. So he makes 20 pizzas a week now, gives them away for free. He has set up a lottery system in order to do this. And he'll write a little note as he lowers down the entire pizza, gives them, like I said, gives them out for free, and then encourages people to donate to local food pantries or charities to help the homeless. And as of March of 2021, so going from just giving pizza slices to his friends to giving out 20 free pizzas a week, he has been able to help donate $47,000 to local food pantries. So entrepreneurship and pizza. So pizza, very close to my heart. Helping others, even better with pizza.
Very cool. Yeah, pizza always helps me.
Yeah, pretty much anything can taste better. I was very lucky to have my first Chicago-style pizza in almost a year, 2 weeks before the pandemic started. Wow. Was the last time I had Chicago-style pizza, and it was a little birthday present.
I would guess that Glenn prefers mushrooms on his pizza based off of what he was feeling good about.
Mushrooms are just one very, very good topping. Most of them are. You ever had an eggplant pizza? That can be a fine pizza.
Ooh, I have not.
Eggplant on the pizza, or using eggplant as the crust?
I'm not sure that I've ever had an alternative crust pizza.
Yeah, I haven't.
I've never had either. One of those cauliflower crusts.
Yeah, the closest I've come to that is Pizza Hut's stuffed crust pizza.
That you just say Pizza Hut.
Yeah, I think it's Pizza Hut. Maybe it's Little Caesars. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. It's been so long. I have had the stuffed crusts many times in what feels like a former life.
Right.
All right, Jordan, what do you have for us in other
news? It's interesting because I had two articles. In one, I could not find the link to. I tried Googling it, and what I found was a little older, but there was a story about a woman who went viral for leaving a tip on a TikTok video, TikTok, of course, and so many people started Venmoing her and stuff like that, and it became like this thing where she would leave these super generous tips to wait staff and stuff. But I could not find the link to that article, so I'll share the other one. And it's interesting because you're talking about helping people with food and things like that. And guys, this article comes to us from Flavortown. Because Guy Fieri
yes.
Guy Fieri is a guy who people make fun of him because of, the flame bowling league shirts and things like that, and the beard and the shades and stuff like that. But Guy Fieri seems to be a pretty good person. And there's an article actually on goodnewsnetwork.org just posted, Friday is when I saw it. He has a restaurant employee relief fund that he kind of put together, not through COVID, but because of California wildfires that started last fall, and seeing that so many people were out of work there. He has raised nearly $25 million for restaurant staff who have been facing financial struggles because of the pandemic, but it really started through these wildfire reliefs and stuff like that. He has donated money to restaurant workers in all 50 states, Puerto Rico, Guam, even the Virgin Islands, D.C., U.S. territories. Citizens of every state and territory just about of the United States have benefited from Mr. Guy Fieri raising money and helping people. And it sounds like they don't get a ton, but they get enough maybe to pay their rent for the month or to keep the lights on for the month. And it's a really, really cool thing for someone who's sort of a punchline on the internet, I think, all too often, to see him using his fame to really raise a lot of money for a lot of good things. $25 million has gone to just various people who've been put out of work because the restaurant industry, of course, has been hit as hard as really any industry over the past year. And he's helping make sure people aren't losing their homes or losing out on things. So very, very cool story.
Yeah, very much so. I don't know if we should be excited that people are stepping up like this in terms of celebrity chefs, but he's not the only one. Like, I know I have no idea how to pronounce his name. Eric Repair. I believe he's out in California, or he has set up since the pandemic started, and even before that, kind of his own food pantry and different restaurants as well to do the same thing. There's another famous chef who's been trying to completely revamp the way that schools give food.
Jamie Oliver, is that?
Yes, I think that's who that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Sometimes it could be a little angering that famous people have to give money when there should be relief provided. We could go down that road.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah,
right. GoFundMe has become a medical bill fundraiser rather than what it originally was intended to be. And those are, I guess, where we can take the good from it is it's good to see that people still care for other people. We care for people in our communities. We're willing to donate to people we've never met. It's good to see that the human heart still beats for other people, even when it's probably loaded with butter and fats like Guy Fieri's is.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good thing for people to choose to do. It's a bad thing that they have to.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I did have another article that I was when I was trying to find the TikTok one, I was Googling some things. There's an article that just came out today and I didn't read it, but I'll read the headline to you guys. They may have found a solution to food packaging, where our loaves of bread come in and stuff like that, the plastic wrap that, is really bad for the environment. An edible food wrap developed from algae and a cinnamon compound may be the food packaging solution we need.
Wow.
What do you guys think of that?
The cinnamon and algae combination, I'm not really sure about. I'd have to...
Right.
I'm not sure what food packaging would be sitting on a shelf in a store for perhaps a very long time, being handled by many people, that I could just, like, pop in my mouth. Like, it would have to be washable, you know?
Right.
It would have to be, I mean, like fruit. You know, you take your fruit home, you rinse your apple.
Yep.
You know? So, if it's something that, you know, you could pretty easily clean off, and that would probably be fine.
Well, I guess to protect it, you can just wrap it in plastic.
I mean, you could wrap it in paper. Paper is biodegradable.
Right.
You don't want to, well, paper is recyclable, more importantly, because you don't want to make a huge added demand for paper on right. the logging industry. But still, there are probably ways to do this.
Yeah. I didn't read the article, so I don't want to criticize too much, but I thought it was interesting that the solution to food packaging is, what if we just ate the bag that our loaves of bread came in? Yeah, what if we could just eat it all?
I mean, you haven't been? Am I out on a limb here?
An edible limb, I think. I mean, and also, really, too, just reading the headline.
State fairs are based on having food that is in other food.
Right. You know, based on the headline, too, it said edible food wrap. But what if it's an edible food wrap? You know, that kind of an edible.
You can't see my eyebrows, but they are in motion. I am picking up what you are putting down.
That's right. Get the mushrooms. Wrap them up.
We're going to Flavor Town. You tried it.
All right. And with that, more food talk. Some mushroom talk. Let's slam into Flavor Town because it's time to plug what we're doing. Mm-hmm. You can catch me on the main event as part of the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed. You can also hear this podcast on the Place to Be Nation pop feed because they are a generous bunch of fellows. And you can also hear us on the North South Connection podcast, which is, I would say, Place to Be Nation adjacent.
Yes.
And Glenn, you got some stuff going on. In fact, something popped up as just this week.
Yes, indeed. As we are approaching the Oscars at this late date, my brother Scott and I have done our traditional review of all of the Best Score nominees. That is on our feed over at the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast. Find us at nontoxicfanboys.com or on Podbean, Podcast Addict, Apple Music, or your podcast listening device and or website of choice. We are also, this is a brand new development, looking into streaming video games. Ooh. If that is of interest. We are going to try to start with Doom 2, I believe, actually. Hell on Earth. If you're fancy. So you can head to twitch.tv/nontoxicfanboys and see if we have succeeded. We are looking at Monday night, April 19th for that. Hopefully everything will go smoothly. And hopefully we'll have it for you afterward if you're listening to this later on. So you can find us on Twitch. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, at Non-Toxic Fanboys. You can find us at nontoxicfanboys.com for links to all of our social media and all of our episodes and whatever developments are going on.
So, yeah, the Non-Toxic Fanboys podcast. And I had a goal this year of, because I have not watched really any movies at all during the pandemic. And so I thought, Steve, this Oscar movies that are coming out, they are looking pretty good. There's a few I really wanted to see. So I'm like, I'm going to try to see as many of the Oscar Best Picture nominations that I can do. Ooh. I've tried this before. I've come very close at times. Never got all of them. So far, I believe we're, what, a week away?
Yes, sir. As all we right. as we live and breathe.
And I'm at zero of the Oscar nominations I've seen so far. So I am well on pace to hit them all.
Ooh, what actually got nominated for Best Picture this year?
Oh, wow. Nomadland is...
Kong vs. Godzilla, maybe?
Kong versus Godzilla. Yeah, anything that has been able to make it out to the theater has.
I saw Wonder Woman. Did Wonder Woman get nominated?
Unfortunately, no. It did not.
Snubbed again.
Yes. Now I'm going to have to look this up. Well, Jordan, why don't you tell us what you have going on, and I will look up the nominees.
Sure.
Because that is something good as well.
So I host Rank and File, which is found on the North South podcast feed. You can find the archives over on the Place to Be feed, but the current Rank and File is a little different, where we do like a bracket style tournament to list a clear winner of each episode's topic. And Eric and myself, and we're going to have some guests along the way, are doing a pretty big project right now. We are going to attempt to ultimately rank the greatest TV theme song in history. It was started as just kind of a one-off episode, and we kind of had a conversation like, this is really hard. There's a lot of good episodes. So what we did is we decided to expand it, and our first episode is going to be dropping pretty soon. Actually, by the time you hear this, it may be out. We are doing a rank and file on the 50s, 60s, and 70s TV theme songs. We're going to make a winner. Then we're going to have an episode on the 80s and 90s. An episode of 2000s to the present, and then an episode on cartoons, and then we're going to have a mega winners episode where we really have to hash out which is the best theme song of all time. It's actually a project that I'm looking forward to. It's going to be pretty fun. I've enjoyed just going on YouTube while I'm working and typing in like TV theme song playlists and listening to them. And there's a lot of remixes out there. Like, people actually remix TV theme songs. Those ones catch me off guard when I'm billing an invoice and like, the Chips theme song comes out with like a pop beat, you know.
Please send that to me.
Okay, I'll try and find it. It was in a playlist. So
I mean, that's the new theme song for this podcast, I think.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
that would be great. It'll have us all feeling good. So, but yeah, that's something that we're looking at, that like 4 or 5 episodes worth of stuff that we've got lined up. So that's my main thing that I host, but I also co-host over on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. It's a pop trivia tournament that Andy Atherton, it's kind of his baby that he's put a lot of work and effort into. We have 8 episodes finished now. There's 9 preliminary rounds, and then there's semifinal rounds and a championship round, all basically pop trivia, pop culture trivia. And Andy's gone out of his way. There's a title belt for the winner when it's all said and done. This thing's going through, I think, to June is when it'll all be done. Like I said, we're 8 episodes in, and each episode there's a different trivia topic. Like, we've done an episode on Harry Potter, Star Wars, Marvel is the one that just came out, the 80s, the 90s, different things. And Andy really puts a lot of work into it. It's a fun little listen. It's fun to do, and we are wrapping up the first round in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll move on to the semifinals. That's what I've got going on. Do you have those movies, Steve?
Do I have which? Yes, I do have the movies, indeed. Yeah, there is 8 this year, so easier to actually watch them all, okay. Especially since most are streaming in one way or the other. We have The Father, which I know is about Alzheimer's disease, so, you know. Real, and I'm trying to think who is the Anthony Hopkins, I believe, is the lead in that. And then I just lost it, of course. I know we have Mank is one of them. That is
a Netflix movie, I think, right?
Yes, it's a tribute to kind of old Hollywood that is on Netflix. So that is probably one of the favorites to win because Hollywood likes movies about Hollywood. But it's,
I was just about to say, you're kidding me. The movie about the golden age of movies got nominated?
Yes.
That is what I understand. Mank is one where Scott and I did listen to the score for our show that just came out, and it is. Oh, boy.
Yeah, I've actually heard that review about the movie itself, but yet it's still going to, out of the 8, supposedly the worst of the 8. There's Judas and the Black Messiah, which was on HBO Max, but I think it is off there now. That is about a guy who gets a plea deal from the FBI. I know all about these movies, yet I haven't watched one of them.
That is the one out of all of the award favorites or the nominees that I really, really want to see.
Yeah, about a guy who has to infiltrate the Black Panther Party in Chicago. To try to get info for the FBI. And the second Chicago one, the Trial of the Chicago 7, is about kind of the Chicago, I believe it was 68, where they had a lot of protests down in Chicago. And there were seven people kind of from different backgrounds who got arrested and were kind of put on trial, like a show trial almost. So, yeah, very much a sign of our times. Nomadland is about with Frances McDormand going around trying to it's based off a book of the same name, but going on just trying to work odd jobs and survive, going across the country, just literally trying to survive off of, you know, like your Walmart type jobs. Promising Young Woman, I believe, is a kind of revenge thriller for a woman who got assaulted. Sound of Metal is a fictional kind of a drummer in a metal band who starts going deaf.
Hills are alive with the sound of metal.
Yes.
I hope that's how it starts.
John Bon Jovi.
Yes, John Bon Jovi and Carrie Bradshaw. In Minari. Which I believe is a movie about an immigrant family who, Korean American family, who moves to a farm in search of setting up the American dream, kind of. And I'm looking up now, it's in the Ozarks. Very interesting because it's like a Korean movie, but it's not in the foreign picture nominations. It's considered an American movie somehow.
That was another score nominee that we went over on our show as well.
Interesting.
You mentioned Carrie Bradshaw in the last movie. I think John Bradshaw Layfield makes a brief appearance in that one. I could be wrong.
Oh no.
Back to wrestling as always.
That wouldn't work out very well for the Korean American family.
Not at all.
Well, since we're already in the pop life section, pretty much with talking about Oscar movies.
Sure.
Let's do a little pop life. And let's see, Glenn, you know, our sub podcast within a podcast as part of Pop Life is Glenn Recommends a Podcast. I'd like to say the title of the podcast you recommended, but I have no idea how to pronounce it. I got the first part. So why don't you hit us up?
Yes, the podcast that I have for us today is The Anthropocene Reviewed.
Ooh.
The Anthropocene Reviewed is a show where the author, John Green, gives some background, some really poignant stories, oftentimes about different aspects of the human-centered world, which is basically what Anthropocene means. We're in the Anthropocene epoch now because the climate and various features of the planet are so heavily influenced by human action. As opposed to the Holocene and other sorts of categories. But the Anthropocene Reviewed is, as I said, often pretty poignant, often really deep stories that are told about different things. Some of my favorite episodes, some of my favorite reviews, because he does rate these things on a 5-point scale at the end of the show. Some of my favorites are Auld Lang Syne. Hawaiian Pizza was a fun one. And the Lascaux paintings, the cave paintings.
Oh.
So I would recommend those if you want to get a sense for what the show is about.
Is this author John Green?
Yes.
Okay.
Fault in Our Stars, John Green. Yeah.
Okay.
And this podcast is actually something that he just recently turned into a book that's coming out very, very soon. So it's his first nonfiction book as well.
Neat. Very cool.
You know, and it's right up my alley, a half-hour podcast once a month.
Yeah, the podcast has been on hiatus while he's been working on the book. I'm not sure if it's going to come back, but I hope so.
Excellent. This is, I have pressed subscribe. So I listen. I'm a listener by trade, and I am a presser of buttons on my phone, also by trade. So my pop life that I'm bringing today is called The Department of Truth, and it is a comic from Image Comics, creator-owned, and I'm going to butcher the man's name, James Tynion, I believe, is the author, who actually is from around these parts originally. James Tynion the Fourth, I should be specific. He had a very long run on Detective Comics with Batman, but then this is a creator-owned book, which is I like those a lot more because it's not taking a established character. It's a story within itself. And for me, those kind of standalone stories, it creates its own little universe. So it's not like most comic books where you have to have years of knowledge of superheroes to get in. This isn't a superhero book. It's slightly, I'd say, science fiction adjacent, more of a thriller, a little bit of horror thrown in. And the Department of Truth is this, and these aren't spoilers, but it's a government organization that tracks conspiracy theories, and it's a secret government organization. So there is the lead character Cole is an FBI former FBI agent who falls into, he is recruited by this Department of Truth. And one of the concepts, I think, so far, because there probably will be a swerve at some point, is that when people, the more people who start believing conspiracy theories, the more likely they're going to come true. So basically reality then turns on itself. So for example, the more people who believe that Kennedy was killed by, you know, whatever theory, that theory is more likely to be true. If there's a lot of people who believe in a flat earth, well, the earth is going to start becoming flat. And so what the Department of Truth is supposedly is striking down these conspiracy theories. So it is really good. Just like magazines, I can tend to fall behind on comic books that come out monthly or sometimes every other month. But this is one that I read every month, and I actually know the story is going on, and I don't have to go find Wiki and try to figure it out where I left off. So, Department of Truth by Image Comics.
Cool.
And Jordan, why don't you go next? And then I have one from a mutual friend who I can just give a quick shout out to after you're done.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to take a few moments to praise a genre that I think gets a little unwarranted hate. I am not lifelong, but for as long as I can remember, video game player.
Oh, okay. I was hoping you weren't going to say hentai.
Well, not lifelong, but for the rest of my life, sure.
Don't knock until you tried it, buddy.
Throw some mushrooms in there. But, as far back as I can remember, I've been playing video games. Started with Atari and then Nintendo, Super Nintendo, all that stuff. I've done podcasts on it. I love video games. It's probably my top hobby if we were to look at what I spend the most time on. It's playing video games. I like playing video games with my friends. I like playing games. It's just a lot of fun. And, you know, video games kind of in our culture have been a boogeyman of sorts. You know, video games lead to mass violence. You know, I don't believe that. Video games will rot your brains. You know, we've heard all that stuff. I'm here to sing the praises of video games. I've really, really enjoyed recently. I've been replaying through a game. And I guess possibly a negative side effect of video games is that they can really suck you in. And I've sat down with this one and said, I'm going to play 30 minutes. And I wind up playing for 2 hours. And it's past midnight. And I have to be up in six hours, you know. But the game that I've been replaying is actually a game that's a few years old now. I think it came out in 2018. And I've had it since launch. But I played through it for a second time. And it's called Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, sure.
It's not really an obscure game by any means. It's a widely known game. But it is one of the most compelling stories not in video games, but I would put it up there with movies, television. It's a story of a guy named Arthur Morgan, who's a part of a cowboy gang in the Old West. But the Old West is sort of dying out. It's kind of turn of the into the 19th, into the 20th century, like 1899, I think, is when the game takes place. And, you know, the Wild West is on its way out, but the cowboy gangs are still trying to find a way to live in society as cities are developing and things like that. And at the same time, Arthur is sort of facing some health issues and dealing with the choices he's made through life. He's been a violent person. He's killed. He's shot. And he's done all kinds of things. And he's dealing with the moral truths of that. And it's just a really deep story. But more than that, it's really just been relaxing for me. You know, I think there are some games that are not relaxing. They are tense. And, you know, I can't play combat games like Call of Duty. Those games are too much for me. But this one is, it's just an open world and you can just explore. Today, before we got on the podcast, I spent 30 minutes catching fish playing Red Dead Redemption. If you're wondering, I caught a sockeye salmon and some perch. But I have really, really enjoyed my playthrough of this. I've come to appreciate it. I do think that video games are art. Now art is subjective and not all games are as beautiful. But just to sing the praises of video games rather than to use them as an excuse for why things are bad in our world. I've found a lot of peace playing this recently, which is funny because there's a lot of shooting and a lot of killing and stuff like that. But in the same time, you just roam the plains and look for different plants and explore caves and things like that. It's really been a lot of fun. And if you are someone who's looking to immerse yourself in a game that will give you hours and hours and hours of gameplay, Red Dead Redemption 2 is probably my top choice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Video games is something I continually want to get back into. Mm-hmm. And it just hasn't happened. I constantly find that there's so many independent games too.
There's so much.
And that's one of the things that I struggle with is just decision fatigue in general.
Yep. And what I find myself doing is I'm a guy who plays video games a lot, but I don't play a lot of video games. Like I will go back and replay a game that I know is good rather than take a risk on a new one, mm-hmm. you know, a lot. Like I'll replay a game multiple times, but Red Dead is one that took so long. It's like, I'm never replaying that again. And I decided to, and I'm glad that I did because it's really taken up a lot of my free time recently. Like if I have time, you know, to sit instead of watching a TV show or listening to a podcast, I'm like, I'm going to play some Red Dead. So I've really enjoyed it.
Cool. And, you know, in our second episode, we, Glenn and I introduced a bunch of friends of the program. We have, of course, Dr. Fauci, good, close friend of the program. Our cat friend, was that Patches, the cat, Glenn, that is a friend of the program.
I know, and Patches is my close personal longtime friend, so I got to think.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, John Cena, shout out to John, who is, as always, listening. But
Yo-Yo Ma as well, Steve.
Yes. So Yo-Yo Ma, we're efforting on him right now.
More of an acquaintance still.
Yes. close acquaintance. Yeah. You know, we hang out in the community college gym. Andrew Riesch, someone who the three of us know rather well for, gosh, well over a decade.
Yeah.
Texted me last night and said, Andrew and I both worked back in the day at Blockbuster Video. And he said, have you checked out the last Blockbuster yet? And he's like, I got emotional a couple times. He said it was not the best movie, but he still got emotional. So, I said a few minutes ago, I haven't really watched any movies. Last night, I wanted some space from everyone. So possibly for the first time ever, I took a recommendation and watched it that same day. So last Blockbuster is just what it sounds like. It takes a look a little bit at the downfall of Blockbuster, but focuses on the general manager of the Blockbuster, which is a franchise in Bend, Oregon, and how it's trying to stay alive and how she's able to make it work and how it's also become a bit of a tourist destination. It is not a very good documentary. It feels like it's two or three different movies happening at the same time, yep. Like a homage to Blockbuster with some D-list celebrities, a kind of a love letter to the general manager and her family and how she runs the store, and then also a business gone wrong story. But if you have any sort of nostalgia to video stores and going to Blockbuster or Hollywood Video or something like that, or like many people have worked at a video store in your time, I would recommend checking out. It's a pretty easy, like 75-minute watch, and 75, 85 minutes, somewhere around there. And it's on Netflix, and I guess with this popping up, I believe it started streaming on Netflix in March. The Blockbuster in Bend has been getting a lot of orders and money coming in. So the hope is that it's able to stay on. And part of that is customers. Part of that is Dish Network allowing them to stay open each year. That's the last Blockbuster. Just kind of a nostalgia piece if you're into that.
Yeah, I watched it a couple weeks ago. It's like you said, it's not a great documentary, but it does hit you right. If it's something you grew up with, like, you'll overlook the kind of, like you said, three movies in one. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. And the main character, Sandy, is absolutely lovable.
If I had a critique, I thought that Doug Benson's weird, like, trip to the store was so out of place and strange. Yeah. Yes. Like, he almost seemed to be mocking them for still being open. I'm like, what? Skip when Doug Benson shows up, fast forward. Other than that, I'd recommend as well.
Yeah, especially because it felt like a couple other of the kind of celebrities, like the one actor from Freaks and Geeks, who I can't recall his name.
Yeah, Sam is his character name on the show.
Yes, I was going to say that. I thought he would have been amazing to go there. Even Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
And like, so like, just was like a love letter to Blockbuster for him, so... Yeah, if you're into the nostalgia, if you're into video store culture, which I do miss, check that out. So before we head out, we do have some spectacular advice, and of course you can ask us questions really about anything. If you have psychological advice you need, I can try to help you out with that. If you have recipe questions, if you just need to vent, if you have a recommendation, a pop culture recommendation, spectacularadvice@gmail.com is the place to go. Listen as your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds, try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears, go ahead, release your fears, stand up and be counted, don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser, you gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger, you gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day. Herald what your mother said. How do you want to do this, Glenn? Do we want to do our question that was sent in?
Sure. Let's do a question. I have a question right here from a friend of the show, a good friend of mine. But first, if you do want any recipes, my Aunt Marion made a bangin' kugel that I can give you that recipe any old time.
And my bubby, my grandmother, also we have a noodle kugel recipe. Maybe one day.
One day
we can have, instead of a chili cook-off, a kugel cook-off.
Oh my friend, that will be a beautiful day.
You know, a few years back our church made a church cookbook. I wouldn't recommend that. One of the items,
how was the kugel in that?
Well, I don't think it made the cut, but there's a dish called hot dogs pronto. And all I will say is that you take a baking pan and line it with hot dogs. That's one of the steps.
Was there a super tuber?
I'd have to look it up. I don't quite remember, but I do remember the name Hot Dogs Pronto. I don't think...
Because you can throw a hot dog in a thing of water and microwave it in 60 seconds.
Yeah, but if you need to bake a dozen hot dogs, Steve, and you need a pronto... Big bowl
and put it in the microwave in some water.
I don't mean to stereotype, but since both of you are, of course, in the upper Midwest of these United States... Mm-hmm. How many of the recipes were not tray bakes?
Gosh, I'd have to look. Very few. there was some salads, so this probably would be the only ones.
Oh gosh.
I'm gonna see if I can dig up the old cookbook. I'll send you guys some of the I'll send you hot dogs pronto right away.
There you go. That
can absolutely be, pronto, please.
Hot dog pronto coming to you on the next show. I think we all have to give out the recipe for that. All right, well,
this will be our pop culture highlight.
Yes. Yeah. Our friend Andy Hilly.
Yes. Yes. I anyway, back to the show.
Life, Jordan's Church's cookbook. You catch it on Netflix.
Anywho, I do have a question here from friend of the show, Andy Helene. With many guys having stay-at-home or pandemic beards, what is the proper care for facial hair? And we are the people to ask, we three, aren't we?
I had a goatee in the 90s for a hot second.
Steve, everyone had a goatee in the 90s.
While I worked at Blockbuster, possibly. Jordan, how's your... I think, Glenn, are you the only one who's ever had a beard amongst us?
I suppose, if you could call it a beard. It came in a little patchy, but when I let it grow for like 2.5 or 3 years, it kind of evened out a little. But actually, the pandemic has been my time to start trimming it a little. I've basically gotten rid of it. I still have a little bit of a shadow, but I basically got rid of it just to make the mask wearing a little easier. I think that is one major thing that you have to take into consideration if you still have a beard or a goatee in the 90s. Hmm. Another factor for me, of course, is I happen to have lost my job recently, it has occurred to me that I'm going to have to look my best in Zoom interviews sooner than later. So that's another reason the beard is coming off. I am keeping my mustache, though, because without it, I will look like I'm about 6 years old.
6 years is about how long it would take me to grow a full mustache, by the way. This question is probably, what's the opposite of a wheelhouse? That would be it for me. One, my wife is not a fan of facial hair. You know, if I kiss her and there's too much stubble, she'll tell me to shave. So for that reason,
right there.
Yeah.
Do it now. Reason,
I have been shaving for many years. Also too, even if I decided I'm not going to shave for 2 weeks, I don't think anyone would notice that I hadn't shaved for 2 weeks. Facial hair is not something that's really, I guess for lack of a better term, ever grown on me. So I will cede my time to you guys.
I will solve
Steve,
the problem.
What's your situation like these days? I know you are a clean-shaven man.
I have this conundrum where I don't like shaving, but I don't like my facial hair. So I generally shave once or twice a week at the most and just kind of have my I'm going to bring another 90s reference in here. My I forgot his name. I totally ruined my
Steve Austin.
No, from Party of Five and Lost, Matthew Fox.
Yeah.
My Matthew Fox constant, like 2-day, 3-day shadow, because somehow he was able to stay somewhat clean shaven during all of Lost. So, you know, guys, when you have a problem and maybe you think there's something wrong with you, or really when the United States, when Americans have problems and they're like, how do I go diagnose myself so I can figure out what's wrong with me? Where do they go?
Spectacularadvice@gmail.com.
Yeah. Well, that's where they should go. But most people, unfortunately, go to WebMD.com.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And on WebMD.com, you can get an article from 2015 called 12 Easy Beard Care Tips.
Oh.
Number one, you might have cancer. Oh, wait, no, that's the wrong WebMD page.
That's every other WebMD page.
Yes.
I will say just on one note on beard maintenance, if you want to know something about actual maintenance as opposed to, no, I usually don't have one. If you're going to have facial hair of any length, you really ought to get a good, short, stiff brush and brush it straight every day when you get up. Brush it when you get out of the shower, whenever you do anything with it, because it was an absolute blessing when I finally got one, or I should say when my fiance got one, because I don't tend to get products like this. You brush it often, brush it good and hard. It will keep it from getting knotted. It will keep it from pulling at you. It is a fantastic addition to the bathroom routine of anyone who actually is going to have facial hair. Now, Steve, how do we diagnose cancer?
This is literally the worst article I've ever read.
Steve, I mentioned an article about edible bags that you put your bread in. Come on.
You could do things such as trim it, shampoo it, sleep well. These are the things it's...
This is how you grow a beard or maintain a beard?
Okay. Grow and maintain. If you Rip Van Winkle sleep, method. Losing sleep could slow down beard growth.
Oh.
Eat with care, meaning take small bites and wipe your face after each one.
Well, that's probably why I don't have a beard.
So this is... Let's take Glenn's advice on this one, and let's just use this as a lesson that if you want to feel good for now, do not use WebMD. And with that, guys, I think that is going to take us to an end. Maybe we should do a caveat if you need advice on anything except hair tips.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I can just reach out to a friend and get better tips from her. Jordan, where can everyone follow you before we head out?
On Twitter, I am at MStarJD. I think I'm the same on Instagram, and I'm not on TikTok.
Yet.
Yes.
Glenn, how about you? Where can everyone find you?
I am at Glennie Bunn on Twitter and Instagram. My Instagram has been very, very sadly neglected. I am aware of this. I'm working on it, maybe. But you can find, as I mentioned before, nontoxicfanboys.com. You can find us at nontoxicfanboys on all your social medias. So I will be available there as well.
And I am at Steve Willey, and then the number one, W-I-L-L-E. And I try to maintain. I love that's on Instagram. I can't do Twitter because I would not feel good for now or any other time.
Yeah,
that is absolutely fair. We have to make these decisions.
Yeah, my Twitter, you could find cat pictures.
I'm a full troll on Twitter.
Excellent. pizza pictures, and in my stories, you can probably weekly find Instagram stories on what I'm watching on the 1982 version of Price is Right, as noted on our first episode, and it is beautiful. I still watch it regularly. And we also have a Facebook page. I forgot to say at the beginning, Feeling Good For Now. And yeah, we got over 100 strong in the first week alone. So thank you for all those people who are hooked up on that. And with that, for Jordan, for Glenn, thank you for listening. And thank you for feeling good for now. Hey, we love you. We got 'em.